For the scripture reading this morning, we're in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Excuse me. And I'm going to read from verse 1 through verse 17. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience, in the which you also walked sometime when you lived in them. But now you also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, or love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word this morning. Let's pause and have a moment of prayer. Father, as we open your word this morning, we pray that you'll truly speak to each one of our hearts and encourage us and strengthen us that we might be able to live for you day by day and seek to be witnesses in this world in which we live. We thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ and for all that he means to each one of us, and pray that you'll help us, our Father, to be able to share the gospel with those around us. We just thank you so much for all your goodness and your grace and your love. We pray for our missionaries today. We ask you to bless them. We think especially of the Trouts. We pray that you would continue to guide them. They have been serving you for many, many years. And we just pray now that as they have this ministry of helping others, the other missionaries, and encouraging them, we pray that you will use them in a mighty way, that they might have the wonderful opportunities to serve you in this way. And we pray, our Father, for your will to be accomplished in the rest of this service this morning and in all that we do, that your holy name might be exalted. We pray for those who are sick today, Lord, that you would touch and heal them, that you might strengthen each one and meet their needs. We know that we have a number of folks in the church that are laid aside, and we ask you to be with them in a very special way, touch them, strengthen them, raise them up. And we ask you, dear Father, to just be with our country. We think of our leaders. We ask you for wisdom and understanding for the president and all the others that are under him, and pray that we might all seek to go forward in serving you, and pray that you'll help the government to do what is right and that your holy will be accomplished through it all. Thank you, Lord, for your presence, for your power. Pray that your Holy Spirit would lead us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Until now, we've seen in the book of Colossians that Paul has been emphasizing doctrine. The first part of this book, he's taught us a number of different things. And now he comes to this part in chapter 3 where he begins to put it into practice. This is a practical section where he's talking about our relationship with the Lord Jesus and what that means in our daily life. He told us that Christ is to be preeminent. He is to be supreme. What does that mean in my life and in your life today? It's important to show how we can live for him and be his servants. The pagan people worshipped many different gods back in that day, and today people still worship many different things. But they continue to live in sin. But Christianity is different. God requires of us to do his will, to walk in the way. If we are born again by the Spirit of God, we are to demonstrate that by the way in which we live and conduct ourselves. And that's what Paul is discussing here. Put it into practice. Show who you are, you know, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, he says that we should seek heavenly things. Verse 1, if you then be risen with Christ, right away starts off with the resurrection, you know. The Lord Jesus coming out of the grave, he says, you have been risen with him. We are in Christ, and we have a new life. We're going to have baptism today, and we're going to see you come forth from the water to walk in newness of life, risen with Christ. And we are to live in that way. It's a life of praise and honor and glory to our Lord Jesus Christ and for all that he's done for us. He says, if you've been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Keep your eyes peeled on what God is doing. And we are risen with him. And Christ is seated at the right hand of God. That's his position, the place of authority in heaven. And he says, if you are in Christ, if you're risen with him, then show it by the way that you will conduct yourself here on earth. Set your affection on things above. You know, what do we love? You know? Oh, I love spaghetti, right? You love spaghetti? I love turkey, yeah. All these wonderful things. That's one way of, we talk about that as Americans. We love everything, right? Food and entertainments and all these things. But he says here, you know, our main affection, there's nothing wrong with loving good things. I'm not saying that. But the main thing is, he says, set your affection. You know, make that your primary aim. On things above, not on things on the earth. In other words, don't just live the same old life you were living before you were saved. You see? We have a new life, don't we? In Christ. We have been made new. And he says, set your affection on those things above. We have so much more than those who are unsaved. Set your heart and mind on these things. You might ask, what does it take to satisfy me? You know, heaven's blessings. He says in another place, it says, lay up your treasure in heaven and not on the earth, where moth and rust corrupts and where thieves break through and steal. Let your main emphasis in life be that of thinking about the Lord and his kingdom and what he's going to do in your life and how you can advance the cause of Christ in all you do. Spend time contemplating on the things of God and who He is, you know. So often we don't even think about that, do we? And yet, he says we need to set our affection on things above. He says, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Well, which is it? Are we dead or are we alive? What do you think? Well, Paul explains it in other places. He says we are to be dead to sin, to that which is wrong in God's sight. We're to be dead to that, to the old life, be alive to a new life, a life of blessing, where we have a relationship with Christ. He is, it says in verse 4, Christ who is our life. He is our life. And when He appears, you'll appear with Him in glory. Think of that. As we realize that we have so much to look forward to. You know, sometimes it can get discouraging, you know. If we're going through life and here we have sickness, we have unemployment, we have all kinds of problems and these natural things that are happening all around us and so much violence, it's depressing, isn't it? But he says, don't live down there. Live up here. Set your mind and heart upon the things of God and realize that He is going to win the victory. The Lord is going to come out on top. We don't have to succumb to these things of this world. We have Christ as our life. And someday, when He appears, we will appear with Him in glory. I have a verse here in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3:23. It says this. Did I write the wrong one? John 3:23. I think it's before that. All right, it's 1 John 3:2. I miswrote. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. You see? If we really believe what we say we believe, then it should show in our lives, shouldn't it? We are the children of God. We are one in Christ. He is our life, and we are able to serve Him. So he says, seek heavenly things. Shun sinful practices. Starts here in verse 5. He says, mortify. That means to put to death. Put to death your members or the things which are upon the earth. And he lists off this terrible group of sins. Fornication. Uncleanness. Inordinate affection. That is, affection that's not normal, which we have a great deal of today. Evil desires, concupiscence, covetousness. It's idolatry when you seek something that others have and worship those things. It says, upon these things, God is going to bring His wrath on the children of disobedience. So he says, put all that to death. You don't need that. Live a worthwhile Christian life. Don't get involved in the sins of this world. Lay aside all those things. He goes on to talk about it here. He says, you used to be that way, right? Verse 7. You, in which you also walked sometime when you lived in them. It's before we come to Christ. We live a normal life. We live a sinful life, right? But he says, you're no longer there. This is after Christ. He's come into your life. Now you no longer live that way. He says in verse 9, don't lie to one another. Tell the truth. That's a good example, right? Jesus is the truth. We are to follow his example. Speak the truth. Put off the old man with his deeds. Put on the new man. Here you can see a suit of clothes. You go out and you work all day, get hot and sweaty, come home and take a nice bath and put on clean clothes. Feels good, doesn't it? That's what he's talking about here. Put off the old sins that you used to enjoy, and now put on Christ, the new man, who is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So here we are to put on this new suit of clothes, so to speak, and lay aside all of the other things. Verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. And isn't it wonderful? The church of our Lord Jesus Christ is the same around the world, wherever you go, right? And I know just recently one of our missionaries, Vitaly Keller and his daughter went on a mission trip to Nepal over in the Himalaya Mountains over there in Asia and were able to fellowship with the believers that were there just like they would in their home. And we can do that as we go from place to place. And we don't have to make distinctions between nationalities or ethnic groups or the color of a person's skin or whatever. In Christ, we are all one, right? We are the church of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we should not have biases and prejudices against other people. So he says in verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God. How about that? We've been chosen. We belong to him. We are his people, holy and beloved. Do you feel holy this morning? Holy and beloved. He says that, right? Put on bowels of mercies. That's a figure of speech there. Tender mercies. Kindness. Humbleness of mind. Meekness. Long suffering. Some things to work on there, isn't it? I know my wife always tells me I'm so impatient, right? I am. I'm impatient. I have to admit it. But we need to be able to have long suffering and patience and kindness and all these wonderful qualities. Well, this is what makes life more pleasant, isn't it? When a person treats you this way rather than rudely and inconsiderately and could care less about you. He says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Did you get that? Who has wronged you? Somebody did something to you that you just can't forget about, and something that really is bothering you, and you said, I will never forgive that person. It says here that we are to forgive one another, right? If any man has a quarrel against any, notice this, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. You remember the Lord's Prayer? Forgive us our trespasses, our debts, as we forgive those who trespass against us, right? There it is. So he says, forgiving one another, just like Christ has forgiven you. So if you're a Christian this morning, how much has Jesus forgiven you? How much has he forgiven you? Everything. Everything. Right? There's no black mark against you. He took it all on the cross. Right? He died in our place. And he says, as I have forgiven you, so you forgive one another. That's a commandment from the Lord. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. That's as good as you can get. If you really love, you love God, you love one another, you love people. He said that's what it's all about. If you love people, that's the ultimate, if you will. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. So much conflict and war in this world in which we live. But he says, don't let that be in your life. Have the peace of God. He offers it to us. Have the peace of God in your hearts. You've been called into one body. We are members of one body, the body of Christ. And he says, be ye thankful. Just had Thanksgiving. We know what that's all about, being thankful for whatever God has given us. And he says, this is right. This is one of the qualities that we should have, is a thankful, grateful spirit. You know? I don't think we should ever hesitate to say thank you if somebody does something for us. Say thank you and mean it. Be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. The word of Christ. We have the word here before us. You know, that's a great privilege. To read and study the word of Christ, the word of God that he's given to us, that we can enjoy, that we can profit from. Let it dwell in you richly. That means you have to read it, study it, memorize it, right? Put it into your mind and your heart. And he says, by also teaching and admonishing one another. Right? We can be a benefit to each other. And then he mentions the music. Music is so important. Admonishing one another in psalms. We have 150 psalms here in the Bible. And hymns, the great hymns of the faith, and spiritual songs. We have a lot of choruses and whatnot. All different kinds of music. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You know, apparently the Lord wants us to sing his praise. And he tells us, do it any kind of way you want to. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, whatever. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whether you're speaking or whether you're acting, whatever it is, make sure you're doing it for his glory. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So what a wonderful passage of scripture we have here, just reading through it, right? And thinking about what we have in Christ and all the blessings. So it should bolster our spirits, I think, if we realize that we have all this in Christ Jesus and there's nothing to be despondent about. There's nothing to be discouraged about. We need to have encouragement and strength in serving the Lord. You know, the name Christian signifies a follower of Christ. Not only do we believe in him, but that we follow him. And everything we do reflects on him. Whether it's good or whether it's bad. Usually, everybody knows about the bad, right? Somebody does something they shouldn't be doing. You know, word gets around very quickly. If you do something good, they might not say anything about that. But anyway, we know that we have a responsibility to have a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ and to serve him. So, in order to manifest the life of Christ within us, then, we need to heed the scriptures. He says, seek heavenly things rather than earthly treasures. Shun sinful practices. Follow after that which is good. And select God's best for your life. So may the Lord grant that we would live in this way and bring glory and honor to him, to his holy name. Father, we thank you for your word and pray that it would penetrate our hearts and encourage us and strengthen us. We know there's a lot that can discourage people. We pray that you will take it away. Help us to realize that we are dead to that and that we are alive unto Christ. So may we rejoice in all of your goodness to us. May the Lord Jesus Christ be glorified. We pray in his precious name. Amen.